do is tonight explain to you in detail the three aspects that I read to you last week from 1 Timothy chapter 2. It speaks there about Christ being a ransom, and also it speaks about Christ being a mediator. So as time allows, we shall see from the Old Testament these references about ransom and mediation, as time allows. So turn to Exodus 30, first of all, and look at verse 11. Now, remember, ransom and mediation. We're going to take up the three aspects of ransoming and redeeming, first of all, as they are contained in the Old Testament. Because when it speaks about Christ, a ransom, we will understand it when we see the illustrations from the Old Testament. So this is the first one in Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30, look at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, according to those that are numbered of them, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth over unto them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs. Half a shekel for an offering to the Lord. Everyone that passeth over unto them that are numbered from 20 years old and upward shall give the offering of the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel. When they give the offering of the Lord to make atonement for your soul, and thou shalt take the atonement money from the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for your soul. Now, Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 47. And if a stranger or sojourner with thee be waxed rich, and thy brother be waxed poor beside him, and set himself unto the stranger or sojourner with thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brethren may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be waxed rich, he may redeem himself. That's enough just to show you. Now, in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 3, Numbers chapter 3, or for the sake of time, you may turn to 3 and I'll tell you whether I want to read you more. No, just turn to chapter 18 for the sake of time. Numbers chapter 18. Look at verse 16. And those that are to be redeemed of them from a month old shalt thou redeem according to thine estimation for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. The same is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow or the firstling of a sheep or the firstling of a goat thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shall sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shall burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and so forth, and so forth. All right. Why, let's see if you can remember from last week, did I read you three scriptures rather than one scripture? Any brother, feel free to give me an answer. Let me give you a little hint. They are all alike in one respect. You have ransom and you have redemption. But did anybody notice any distinction between any of the three that we read? When they were numbered in Exodus 30, how much money was given? Very good. When they were redeemed at the age of 20, at the age of 1 month old, when they were first born, how much was given? All right, then I will tell you as a review. What I'll do is just preach that message of last week again, and you won't know that I did it. All right. In 1 Timothy 2, it speaks about Christ who gave himself a ransom for all. The word ransom. When you look upon Christ with John the Baptist and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," then you look in the Old Testament at all the lambs that were offered, and they are a picture of the Lord Jesus, God's Lamb, who shall come and actually take away the sin of the world. So whenever you find him spoken of as a lamb, that is a picture of Christ coming and giving himself, bearing our sin, taking away the sin of the world. Now, in like manner, when you read of Christ as giving himself a ransom, since in the Old Testament he's spoken of as the lamb, and you find the lamb in the New Testament, he's spoken of as the ransom, and you find the ransom in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. And the lamb in the Old Testament is a picture of what the Lamb of God is going to be that takes away the sin of the world. And the ransom and redemption in the Old Testament is a picture of what Christ, who came and gave himself a ransom for all, is going to be in the New Testament. You understand? If you have a picture of one man who involves the whole race in death, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, you have Adam who is a picture of Christ. Here is a man whose sin brings death. Here is a man whose obedience brings life for all who will have that life. Keep that in mind, first of all. So, what I will do is to start telling you about the various aspects of ransom and redemption, and as your mind is thinking about them, then you will say, this is talking something about Christ who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, in the Old Testament, you never find anyone or any illustration of a ransom being given for all. When a mother and father bought their firstborn son, they gave a ransom for him alone, for one. When a young man attained 20 years of age, he gave a ransom for himself. And when an Israelite fell upon hard times and sold his property or even sold himself, then a kinsman redeemer came and redeemed his brother. You say, well, why is that? Why does not God give an illustration of someone giving a ransom for all? Because that was reserved for Christ. I'm going to show you in Psalm 49. You must turn to this. You must turn to it because we so flippantly speak about Christ being the ransom. Let's just see in Psalm 49 how difficult this thing is. Psalm 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their life is costly, and it faileth forever. Tell me, what man who ever lived, including Solomon, the wealthiest, could find enough money to get a ransom for the soul of one Israelite? Not one. All the wealth that any man possessed was not enough money to pay the ransom for one. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and we are told in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. How rich, of how infinite of value is the preciousness of the blood of Christ. If all the wealth that mankind could accumulate were given to God, it could not ransom, it could not redeem one man. And yet the Lord Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and he gave himself a ransom for all. Never forget that. Remember how precious, how infinitely precious is the blood of Jesus Christ. So listen again. It says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their life is costly, and it faileth forever. Now, think of this. While people are arguing about he gave himself a ransom for all, yes, he gave himself a ransom for all, for the simple reason, first of all, that all needed ransoming. That is why he gave his life a ransom for all. We think of it, how great it is that he could give his life a ransom for all. But if he gave his life a ransom for all, then all needed ransoming. And for that reason, that introduces the threefold aspect of ransoming and redeeming that I read to you from the Old Testament. I will take it slowly and simply, and if you review again and again and again, you will begin to see it. But the subject, the main subject, is ransom and redemption. Just as all men are ransomed, Christ gave himself a ransom for all, so there was not one man in Israel who did not need ransom. Not one. If someone such as Moses, the servant of the Lord, Abraham, the friend of the Lord, could say, I do not need ransoming, that would be a remarkable thing. But all of them needed ransoming. In fact, it says concerning Abraham, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Why? Because Abraham had no righteousness. Nor did David, nor did any saint of God in the Old Testament have righteousness, or were their souls free from the need of ransoming. But in the Old Testament, instead of presenting us Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, what he does is to take individual illustrations of Israelites one by one being ransomed and redeemed. Now, it may be that three times in an Israelite's life he would be ransomed or redeemed. It may be twice he was ransomed or redeemed. It may be that only once he was ransomed or redeemed. But every Israelite was ransomed at least once in illustration during his life. Some twice, some three times. Not all three times, not all two times, but everybody at least one time. Why? Because Christ gave himself a ransom for all, and God shows us that no one is exempt. Now, I, of necessity, would have been redeemed 3 times in Israel, because I am a firstborn son, you see? I would have to be redeemed that way. You say, well, I'm not a firstborn son. Then you would not need the redemption of the firstborn, as I read to you in Numbers chapter 18. You wouldn't need that. You say, well, then I don't need it. Oh, yes. If you have attained 20 years of age, you would need ransoming when you went into the service. And you see, I went into the service when I was 17 years old. In Israel, they went in when they were 20 years of age. But when I went in, I would have to pay the ransom again. And there was one time and one time alone in my life that I ever owed some money. It was a hospital bill, and I didn't know it. But I thought you had to pay the money or they wouldn't let you out of the hospital. And because of that, I had to go and get a friend to sign a note so that I could pay the bill and be released from the hospital, you see? And so for that reason, I needed ransoming and redeeming 3 times. Now, I will tell you about it in Israel. Here is one who is a firstborn. And the ransoming and redeeming only have to do, in the instances I read to you, about the male. So here is one who was the firstborn in a family in Israel. After he is a month old, his parents have to bring him, and they have to give redemption money, 5 shekels. So you say, well, if a man is firstborn, then that is the first time he needs redemption. Yes, and it costs 5 shekels. His parents have to pay that. The second time is when he reaches 20 years of age. When he does, he is numbered and he goes into the service and he has to pay 0.5 shekel of silver for the ransom of his soul. You say, well, if I were firstborn, then I was redeemed when I was a month old, after a month old. And then when I became 20 years of age, I was ransomed, yes, and I read to you about some that fall on hard times, and they sell their land, or they sell themselves, and a kinsman redeemer has to come and rescue them from their poverty. You say, well, that's 3 times. Yes, but not everybody had that experience. Suppose I was not the firstborn son, but the secondborn or the thirdborn. Then I would never have to be redeemed that way. And suppose God in his goodness enabled me to handle my funds wisely, and I never had need for a kinsman redeemer to come and get me out of trouble. You say, you wouldn't need to be redeemed that way. Correct. But when I reach 20 years of age, even though I had escaped the other two, I could not escape paying a ransom for my soul. And for that reason, everyone in Israel has to be ransomed at least 1 time. Some 2, and some 3 times. The Lord, and I want you to see this, the Lord is impressing upon the Israelites the need of ransoming and redemption for each individual Israelite. Some of them would be reminded of it 1 time, told about it by their parents. A firstborn son, the parents would say, after you were a month old, we paid 5 shekels of silver, and you were redeemed. And so the child would be told about that. When the child reached 20 years of age and was going to be put in the army, he personally was responsible to give 0.5 shekel of silver for his own ransom, and he would say, yes, I'm reminded again, ransom, redemption. And if he fell upon hard times, and a kinsman redeemer had to come and pay off a debt that he could not pay, he would be reminded again that he had need of redemption. And the Lord wanted it that way. Whenever they were snapping the neck of an ass, if he weren't going to be redeemed, the child would say, "Why do you do that?" And the father was to tell about the redemption of the firstborn Israelites out of Egypt, and how God slew all the firstborn of the Egyptians. You see how God is reminding them again and again and again. And now I want to show you how this would work out and just why these various prices were needed, and God would remind the Israelites, whereas they may overlook it, but God would remind them every time. Suppose a father and mother have their firstborn son, and after that son is a month old, they bring him into the presence of God. And in the words of Jacob concerning Reuben, his firstborn, they would say this. They would say, "This is my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the preeminence of dignity, and the preeminence of power." And God would say, "Then give me 5 shekels of silver, because he is under the sentence of death, and if you do not give it, he shall be destroyed." You see that reminded? Isn't that sad? Parents bringing their child to the Lord, and God saying, "You have to give 5 shekels of silver, because that child that's so beautiful, that is such a blessing to your heart, he is under the sentence of death, and he will be slain if he is not redeemed." You see? That's what the 5 shekels of silver meant, the redemption of the firstborn. And for this first generation, they would think of all the dead firstborn ones in Egypt that were slain when God delivered them. Do you know when it says Israel left Egypt? When Egypt was burying their firstborn. They couldn't do anything about it. They were burying their firstborn. And when Egypt took exit from, for Israel took exit from Egypt, then Pharaoh later went out after them, but they were burying their firstborn. And now, here is an Israelite saying, "This is my firstborn." God says, "Your firstborn needs redeeming as much as the firstborn of the Egyptian whom I slew because they did not pay the redemption." You say, what a blessed event it is then to have a child, a firstborn son, but how sobering, how awesome to think that that child, that innocent child, I thought, is in need of redemption. God says, "Yes, you must remember." And then, since the child had no personal understanding of it, because my mother told me things that happened to me in my infancy, I don't know anything about them, but the mother would tell the child about being redeemed, 5 shekels of silver as the firstborn. But in case the parents were impressed, but the child was not impressed, then when he became of age, this is what he would say. He would go and present himself to the priest, and he would say, "I am 20 years of age. I have reached my majority, and I'm ready to stand up and be counted." God would say, "Good. Give me 1/2 shekel of silver, because you are under the sentence of death, and you will be plagued the same as the Egyptians were unless you give me that 1/2 shekel of silver." Isn't that sad? Here is a man, he's strong, he's able to go and fight, and God says, "You are under the curse, and you have to give me money to pay a ransom for your soul." You say, well, that's the second time. And then, here is another man who has had reversals, who has fallen upon hard times, and he's destitute. And one of his kinsmen comes and pays all his debts. And he says, "Now, to think that somebody else had to come to my rescue and redeem me. I told you that some could experience ransoming and redeeming 3 times. But at least the one who is firstborn would experience it 2x, and everybody at least 1x. And if they thought, then they would remember." And what was so interesting was this. When God spoke about ransoming them when they were 20 years old, he said, if you are not ransomed, I'm going to send a plague upon you. You look up that word plague, and it's the same word that is going to be sent upon the firstborn of the children of Egypt. So, even though you're not a firstborn, God says, just because you are part of the nation of Israel, you are part of the human race, you are still under the sentence of death, and unless there is a ransom paid for your soul, then the plague, the death that was sent upon the Egyptians, shall be sent upon you. You see, God makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the children of Israel, but at the same time, that distinction is made because of the precious blood and because of the oracles that God gave to the nation of Israel. All, whether Israelites or Egyptians, all were in need of ransoming and redeeming. And God reminded them again and again and again. And so if you miss it, then God can do nothing else. Because every time an ass was born, then there had to be a sacrifice for that ass. And the redemption story would be brought to their attention, not only in their own experience, but in the experience of their livestock. And God is reminding Israel again and again and again how essential it was for ransoming and redemption to be impressed upon them. How could they be proud? All right. All of this, God was using to build up a picture of the need of the whole world of ransoming. And that is why I read you in Psalm 49 that even though God allowed, and think of this now, here is the other side of the picture. It says in Psalm 49 that no one can redeem his brother. That is the actual truth. Redeem his brother from death, from the pit, from eternal judgment from God. No one has sufficient wealth to redeem one man. But what God must do is this. He must give us a picture of someone who did have enough wealth to redeem someone who had become destitute. And I may someday tell you about it in the book of Ruth. But here is Ruth, the Moabitess, and she is destitute. Here she is, and she desires that she may go behind those that are gathering the grain, and anything that happens to fall on the ground, she may be privileged to pick it up. She's destitute. Now, there is one named Boaz, and this Boaz is a great man of wealth. And Boaz looks upon this accursed Moabitess, and when she casts herself at his feet and beseeches his assistance, Boaz says, I will redeem you. Now, isn't that beautiful? Here is the Lord Jesus looking upon us, outcast, destitute, without any hope, unless there is someone who is a kinsman who can redeem us. And as much as you may love me, it is impossible for you to redeem me. And as much as I love you, it is impossible for me to redeem you. Two tragedies. David was willing to do all that he could to give himself, his soul, a ransom to Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom. Would God I had died in thy stead, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. But David was not able to die for Absalom. David was a sinner. And Paul said in Romans that he could wish himself accursed for his brother and his kinsmen according to the flesh. But Paul couldn't become accursed for them. He was accursed for himself, and there is only one kinsman redeemer who had wealth enough to redeem not one, but to give himself a ransom for all, and that was Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so think of his wealth. But now, having told you that, and I want to show you the beauty of it, because it says in Matthew chapter 13 that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who found a treasure hid in a field, which he hid and went and sold all that he had and bought that field. someone who sold all that he had that he might buy that deal. And it's like a merchant when seeking goodly pearls, and when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl. Now, I told you before that the man that finds the treasure and seeks the goodly pearl is the Lord Jesus Christ. But it said in Psalm 49 that the cost of their redemption and ransom was precious. It was beyond measure. No one could ransom his brother. But here is one who, if he were willing to sell all that he had, and having sold all that he had, give it for the field and for the pearl, he could purchase that deal, and he could purchase that pearl. There was only one who was wealthy enough to do that. It says this in 2 Corinthians 8, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." There was only one who had enough to pay the ransom and the redemption for all mankind, and that was Jesus Christ. And it cost him everything he had. It says he was rich, and he became poor. First of all, he said, "Father, I will that you restore unto me the glory that I had with thee before the world was." The wealth, the splendor, the glory that was Christ in heaven. When he came to earth, he walked the earth as a lowly carpenter and as an unlearned man. Here is the Lord Jesus, who, rich, became poor. But that wasn't enough. Having become poor, the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood. And with that price, he purchased the field and he purchased the pearl. Now, I must tell you this. There are those who say that the atonement is limited. But even this parable shows you that it is. I can't go into that tonight, but I will tell you this much. The Lord has said the field is the world. And it says that he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. The Lord Jesus has purchased the world. The Lord Jesus is a ransom for all. Now, that treasure in the field is what he wants. I told you last week that God willeth all men to be saved. God desires that all men be saved, but not all men will accept the ransom that Jesus Christ gave for them. He said, "You will not come unto me that you may have life," but the ransom has been paid. The Lord Jesus has purchased the field, which is the world, and I will bring this to your attention for all of those who say, "Christ only died for the elect, only for those that are going to take him as Savior." It says in 2 Peter chapter 2 about certain false teachers that are going to bring in damnable heresies, and it says they're going to deny the Lord that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. The Lord Jesus bought them that deny him and preach damnable doctrines. He bought them as well. But if they will not have him as Lord, it says they bring upon themselves swift destruction. So never let anybody tell you that Jesus just died for some, that he's a ransom just for some. He gave himself a ransom for all. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And so God says, the ransom has been paid. So think now, think again of the wealth and the preciousness of the price that Christ paid for the redemption of the world. And as it says, God is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. We who believe enter into all the benefits that every sinner could have if he would accept the benefits that accrue from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they will not. Think of the preciousness of it. There is not one sinner on earth, not David, the man after God's heart, not Abraham, God's friend, not Moses, not Paul, not one man can give ransom for one other sinner. And the Lord Jesus, when he gave his precious blood, ransomed the whole of mankind. That is the value of his precious blood. Now, this. Here is what is so beautiful. In these three illustrations I gave you from the Old Testament, God is teaching individuals in three different ways about redemption. I told you, first of all, when the parents bought that child, if he were firstborn, they would be the ones that paid the redemption money. I shan't apply it to the fool, but I will just suggest this. It says concerning Timothy that his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, it says, from an infant thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are parents that made salvation and redemption available to Timothy. There are those, as I told you the last time Sunday I spoke about bringing men to Jesus, here are some that bring their children to Jesus. And so that is the thought of parents seeing to it that if it's up to them, they're going to do all in their power, that their children are redeemed. They pay the 5 shekels of silver. But the second time is this. Notice, inasmuch as it says in Psalm 41 that nobody is wealthy enough to redeem his brother, God says to the man when he reaches 20 years of age, give me 1/2 shekel of silver. Give me less than 25 cents. Could you redeem yourself tonight? I could. Listen. You see? I could redeem all of you tonight. Isn't that wonderful? You say, well, what are you talking about redemption being so costly? That is the actual cost of redemption. What God is doing here, when he says it's 1/2 shekel, he is showing how available salvation is to anyone who wants it. No one would be so poor that if you have less than 1/4, if you need it, I will lend it to you tonight. I'll give it to you tonight if you need it. You see? I could do that. And so here is one, and he needs to ransom his soul. God says, give me this mere pittance. But when he does it, there is this acknowledgement. I need ransoming, and a price has to be paid for the ransom of my soul. God says, that's enough. And then you think back. You think back that silver is Christ ransoming sinful man. You say, I see. And the 5 shekels of silver, that is Christ ransoming sinful man. And here is Boaz, who is prepared to redeem Ruth. Here is Christ, our kinsman redeemer, coming to our assistance. And here is another thing that is so beautiful. I told you that if a man were going to be redeemed, it says one of his brothers can redeem him, or his uncle's son, that's his first cousin, or another near kinsman. But here is Boaz, and Boaz was a near kinsman of Mahlon, who married Ruth. And so he said, now, I can redeem you, but there is one who is a nearer kinsman than I have. And he went, and I'm simplifying it for your understanding. He said, you have to redeem the land, and at the same time, you also have to redeem Ruth, the Moabitess. And the closest kinsman redeemer on earth said this, I cannot do it, lest I mar my inheritance. You see? Here is one who could have, but because it might mar his inheritance, we shan't discuss that. It might mar his inheritance, he says, no, you take my right of redemption. Now, if anyone ever said, when God pointed to earthlings and said, they need redeeming, the Lord Jesus would say, if I redeem them, it will mar my inheritance. Why, all of heaven and earth are mine. All the wealth, all the splendor, all the riches, all the glory of heaven are mine. If I go and redeem this woman, I will mar my inheritance. And yet the Lord Jesus never said that. But just as Boaz was eager to ransom and redeem Ruth, so the Lord Jesus looked upon us, and he willingly came to earth, sold all that he had, and he redeems us. He is the kinsman redeemer who was willing to redeem us. Now, this aspect, whether you want it or not, the parents had to pay the 5 shekels of silver. When a man attained 20 years of age, he had to pay the 1/2 shekel of silver. But the kinsman redeemer did not have to redeem. He should, but he did not have to redeem. And Ruth the Moabitess came and lay at the feet of Boaz, and she spoke to him and besought him for a blessing. And Boaz said, I will bless you. I will redeem you. Now this is her aspect. It is one who has wealth, who has ability to redeem, but we have to approach him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to redeem my soul. And the Lord Jesus, just as the leper came and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the blind man said, if you want to, you can give me my sight. The Lord Jesus, being moved with compassion, said, I will. And so when any sinner comes and says to the Lord Jesus, you are my kinsman redeemer, and if you will, you can redeem me. The Lord Jesus gladly says, I will redeem you, though it mar my inheritance, though it involves my becoming poor and going to earth and shedding my blood on the cross, I will redeem you. So these are some of the thoughts behind that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for one, and thou dost speak about the great love wherewith he loved us. We are thankful. You have shown us, and we have cried out that we are sinners. And yet, Father, thou hast made provision for us sinners. Every step of the way you remind us again and again, we have need of ransom and redemption. And all along thou dost show us that there is one who can pay the price. And thy Son has paid the price. And we are thankful that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, receive our thanks, our Father, for our ransomer, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.